Welcome to Thinking Reimagined.
Thinking Reimagined is a unique platform for thoughts-provoking intergenerational dialogue
in a diverse and inclusive setting with a focus on impactful change
in the global workplace and community.
Our stakeholders' conversations aim to spark thought,
leadership,
curiosity,
engagement,
collaboration, and learning
amongst individuals, teams, and beyond.
Enjoy this episode. And subscribe to Thinking Reimagined on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and other outlets. Welcome to another edition of Thinking Reimagined. Today's edition is incredibly special because I am joined by fellow coaches, friends, and a co-founder, as well as our co-producer, Peter Amend-Boyum. The topic today is dance with life. And it actually came about from conversations I was having with our guests today. And I believe it was Annalise who said something about we've learned to dance with life. And I said, that's the topic, that's it. Dancing with life, it's beautiful. And it really encapsulates what it is that we do as human beings. The ebb and flow, the suffering, the joy, the moments when we begin to doubt ourselves, and then of course the moments of reassurance. And today we hope that through this period of conversation about the joys of life, the memories of life, like we're just having at this very moment, we come to realize that dancing with life is what we are all doing, and perhaps the best way for us to enjoy our moments and times with our loved ones and with those that we network with. So I'm absolutely delighted today to welcome Yinka Uyegoke, who is, as many of you know, a regular contributor to our podcast, but also my co-founder with Africa Sustainable Trade. He's a communication expert. He is a PR guru, and may I say, just a delightful human being to work with and to know. And I'm also joined my co-producer. Yeah, this is the reason why going live is fantastic, because you capture the whole thing. And in this moment, I am dancing with life as well. My co-producer, Peter Amend-Boyum, a thespian who is actually on set, which is why his camera is going to be off much of the time. And of course, my friend and fellow coach, Annalise, who is joining us from the United States. Thank you so much. Yinka, what a topic we have today, one of reflection, one of looking at life and coming up with a new way to embrace life, particularly in this time, uncertain times.
Yes, and I think, you know, it's very apt, really, dancing with life, because we've come to the end of the year. It's the time of reflection where people think, have I done what I set out to do? What did I say I was going to do? New Year's resolutions? Am I where I should be? Whatever that means. And to have us as coaches, you know, helping that life guidance, I think dancing with life is perfect. Let me introduce Annalise, because I'm super excited to have her. So welcome to our final podcast of this year. I've really been enjoying it. I came on as a guest a few months ago. Every time I get invited, I'm like, oh my God, yes, fantastic. Today's guest, Annalise Gentile, I read about her with such admiration. And, you know, she's an expert in life and leadership coaching. She leads Conduit for Change LLC, which specializes in guiding individuals and organizations through transformative change. Her book, From Chaos to Calm, is a testament to resilience in especially in our fast-paced world today, right? She holds diverse clientele, including IBM, the City of Raleigh. She offers executive coaching, keynote speaking, workshop facilitation, and her approach really combines mindfulness, creativity, and courage, helping leaders manage burnout and navigate change. She's an advocate for understanding individual perspectives, ultimately believing that we all need to be seen, heard, and understood. So I feel very warm and enlightened to have her with us. Let's open up this conversation, Dancing with Life.
Hello, Andy, Dr. Amma. Thank you so much for having me this morning from Raleigh, North Carolina, the United States. It is 6 a.m. here. I am dancing. And I do apologize to you all and to your beautiful audience if my voice is raw and rough. It is early and we are nursing the flu here, my husband and I. So I have a luxurious voice this morning. So I will do my best and play. And the beauty of Dancing with Life is to show up as what's needed and show up as you are. It is the playfulness, it is the awkwardness, and it is the permission to completely be human. Thank you so much for having me as a guest, and it is a great pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much for those words, because you're absolutely right. Authenticity is what we're about. I mean, you just saw my blunder. I don't even call it a blunder. I call it me being authentic at this moment. I lost my trail of thought. I had so much going on in my mind at once, and I was looking at all these faces and being so joyful that I was able to bring together my colleagues for a conversation that I absolutely believe in. All of you here are aware that, you know, my year started off quite rough with an incident that I still do not wish to speak about. And yet I had to dance with it. I had to dance with the challenge that my year started with, which kept me in the place of care and love for about 4 months. And then, of course, coming back and being able to communicate and be one with others at the same time. And for me, every day is a dance. You know, I wake up every morning and just think, oh, well, I've got to dance today. Who am I at this moment? And what do I have on my mind? And what am I going to put forth into the world? And what memories can I create? Because at the end of the day, as we dance through life, we're just creating memories and imprints that we carry on with us. So I'm taking in this moment and dancing with it with all of you, whether you're here with us virtually on our platform, Zoom. Is it Zoom? We're on Zoom right now.
We're on Zoom.
LinkedIn. Yeah, we're on Zoom. Yeah, there you go. LinkedIn. If you're joining us on LinkedIn or Facebook or YouTube, welcome to this dance. And I hope that wherever you are, you're dancing as well. Peter, do you want to say something? I know you're on set. Would you like to say something and join the conversation as well?
Sure. I'd like to welcome everyone to the end of the year. It's been a tough, tough, tough year, but I think we've made it through. We started this year with infinite possibilities, and we really had some infinite possibility moments. So I'd just like to add that this is going to be a great podcast, because I myself, I'm not one to make New Year resolutions. Not that I don't believe in it, but I think a lot of people have unrealistic goals, especially financial goals. You want to make $20 million, but what are you doing to make it in the next year? So I think it will be interesting to listen to all the coaches give us insights and all our unrealistic goals for the new year, and also how we can dance with life successfully. So thank you, everyone, and I'm looking forward to hearing all you have to say.
Well, thank you, Peter. Yeah, fine. Thank you so much for that, because you know what I picked up from there was the use of the word goals. I don't use the word goals. I think everyone who knows me because I'm always about intentionality. And so I live life and all that comes to me from intentionality. And I think that when you know or you have the right intention, then things fall into alignment. And then you can dance with life, whatever it presents, whether it's suffering, joy, anger, or the range of emotions and things that can go on. But I start my life and I live each day with intentionality, not so much with goals. What do the others have to say? You know, Yinka, Annelise, what are your thoughts?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Annelise, please, I'm dying to hear from you. Please carry on.
All right, Yinka. So I would say it begins with defining dancing with life. And I would define dancing with life as being present. So when you think about the dance, when you are moved by spirit and it is moving through you and your arms are moving and your hips are swaying and your feet are moving to and fro, if you look at the physicality of dancing, you are not in your head. You are in your body and you are in the movement and letting spirit move through you to activate you and to help you not figure out the next step, but to live the next step simply by being in this moment. So if we take that actuality of what we know about dancing and we put it into the metaphor of what does it mean to dance with life? To me, that means what's happening in the moment. What does your body need? What is spirit calling for you to listen to? If you try to plan far in advance, yes, you can plan, you can take micro steps to go there, but you're going to miss the innuendo of the mystery of life that might take you on a very different path. So there's a yes and. If you want to make $1 million, and that's your plan, and you have strategy step by step by step, you can do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm a goal setter, but I'm also a listener. And presence, I believe presence, being present to what is important to you, because as life changes, your goal actually might not be the same goal that you thought it was. And if you're not paying attention, you're gonna miss that. And if you miss that, you may miss presence. That there being are other things that are more important. So presence to me helps define the relationship of dancing with life. You have to be present to what's needed in the moment and to listen, which is a very intuitive thing that not a lot of people can tap into because they may be more attracted to what they think they're supposed to do, the should, the want versus what's needed, what's showing up is missing. The tender moments, that to me is where I think presence lies, which leads us to dancing with life.
Love that. You know, when you started talking about dancing with life, I literally just closed my eyes and I just was imagining dancing in that moment, visualizing it. And I felt that. And the question I have, I suppose, I think that most of us really want the answer to is that by now people understand that we need to be present and making a goal, for example, I want to make $1 million, for example, right? We are not present with that. That's what we want today. But as you say, when we do get that goal, that might not be actually what we want. So how do we get to listening? How do we get away from not thinking of regret, the past, and at the same time, not thinking too much in the future or in the future at all, where we're actually missing what we really need? Because that goal of $1 million, for example, if we use that, might not actually be our goal, might not actually be the thing that sets us alive. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, it does. It does make sense. And so it's the experience, it's that journey, it's that being present is really about being open to the experience that takes you to where it is that you wish to go. but you do have to be intentional about being open to it. By the way, we have somebody online who says, really deep and beautiful conversation. I needed this. Thank you, Queen Bestman, for that feedback so early in the conversation. Mm-hmm. So how do we stay present is key, because when you're present or in presence or in the being, then we connect with the experience of what is available to us at that moment, don't we?
May I ask you both, how do you define presence? From your own personal perspective, if you were to check in, how do you define presence?
That's a great question. So I ask myself questions, and I usually know that if I'm in flow, so I akin this to dancing, literally, the tango, am I in flow? Or I akin this to visual things that I can think about. So I think of the surfer, for example. I wish I could surf, I don't. And living in England, different story. I akin this to a surfer. They sit on the board and wait for the wave, right? And then when they see the wave coming, and they jump in their boards and get on that, and they just enjoy that moment. So whenever I feel in flow, I feel balanced. Whether I'm being challenged or not, I know that I can feel it. It's the feeling. I either feel like, oh, this is challenging, but I'm loving it, or this really feels challenging and I feel I'm in the wrong place. Then I ask myself the questions, and for me, questions are the answers. Will this matter next week? Will this matter next year? Because half the time, the things that we're worried about either never happen. In fact, most of the times, the things we're really worried about never really happen. Let alone, so we end up worrying about something that's going to happen in a week and we've lost the whole week. So for me, I think it's questions. Will this really matter? And what can I learn from this? Those are the two questions I think that I often use. And I also advise my clients to think, you know, if you ask yourself that those questions, then you can find out if you're really present, because half the time we're missing the presence, we're missing the signs. What can I learn from this? What is the magic? Magic is unexpected, miracles are unexpected. So it's only from being present that we're able to attract and be open to it. That's my sort of ways and my perspective when I'm going through that.
Doctor,
I do it.
Sorry. Peter wanted to say something.
I think Peter wanted to say something. Go ahead.
Someone just sent me this morning when I posted on my WhatsApp, and it's a quote. He said, if you went back and fixed all the mistakes you ever made, you will erase yourself. And what you're saying now just made me think you have to be, I mean, talking about being in the present. So I just want to throw this out there. It was a comment someone made from looking at the prompts.
Right. I love that. That's so apt. Dr. Amma, carry on.
Annalise had asked, how do I, was your question about how do I stay present?
How do you define presence in your own self? How do you know what presence is to help your audience understand presence? Like, we can talk about it as a thing outside of us, but if we explore it from our own personal perspective, it might help.
Well, presence for me is about an awareness of myself, my being, you know, how am I relating to what's going on around me? You know, am I aware of how my body is feeling? Am I in touch with the feelings or the thoughts or the emotions? You know, all of those things for me are critical for presence. It's somewhat like a neurobiological thing for me, because, you know, I'm sitting here right now and I'm aware of where my hands are, where my feet are, how they're placed. But at the same time, I'm aware of the light, the voices, all of those things keep me in presence. And from that vantage point, I am then able to experience what's coming to me, the voices, the messages, all of those things. You know, how is my stomach feeling at this moment? You know, intuitively, I very much go to my stomach to see what's going on, to keep me in balance. So I look at it from many ways, and that for me starts from the very moment. You know, even when I'm walking, I stop for a moment to sort of be aware of the the motion of my feet moving and how it feels as it lands and the next one takes off, you know, the beads of perspiration running down my back or my forehead when I'm exercising. Those for me about being present, and or when I meet new people, you know, how are they coming towards me? How am I reacting to them? What are those feelings or sensations? So presence for me is really about my being in relation to the environment and what I perceive around me. And from there, I then open up myself to experience it. Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. Dr. Amma, I was dancing while you were talking. It was so poetic. I'm going to repeat back what I felt. Okay. And I know your audience felt this. And I want everyone, whether you're out and listening or here on the podcast with us online, if you can, close your eyes. Don't do this when you're driving. But I want you to, I'm going to repeat back what I remember. And I want you to think about this from a perspective of a beat. Mm-hmm. I can feel the presence in my body as I walk. I touch ground with my feet. I can feel it in my gut. I can feel it in the way I hear the words, the way I respond to the people, the feeling inside. I can feel present, adjust as needed. I respond with my gut. I can feel it. I can sense it. I know I am presence in being.
Beautifully stated.
It's poetic. Poetic. It was very rhythmic, and that rhythm is in everything. And we all know this. Music is life. The basics of the basics of life is rhythm. It's very simple. We have heartbeat, repetitive, breathing in, out, in, out. The way that we can tap back into presence, if we forget ourselves, is to notice the swiftness of how we are responding. Are we talking, not paying attention? Are we walking or fighting? What's the rhythm of our relationship to ourselves? That's how I tap back into the dance. It's like, is this a messy dance? Am I dancing with others in a way that if this was music, it would sound awful? Am I permitting space between the notes? Am I allowing my music, my words, my contribution to be heard amongst the words and contribution of others? Or am I just throwing all of myself on top of others or even myself? Like if there's too much going on, too much buzz inside. So that's my gift around how I define presence. And Amma, you did a great job for sure on embodying, recognizing how you are embodied in your body. It's a perfect description. Yes. Yes.
Well, we have another comment here, if I may. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I love, Inka, that you also mentioned that you're always asking yourself questions. I think that's so important. And certainly a gift and a curse as a coach. We're always asking questions. I don't know how you guys are. Do your friends say, stop coaching me? You're always asking me questions.
That's my battle with my partner. Look, don't go into coach mode with me. I'm like, oh no. Right. I'm not your client. I'm like.
That is very true. You're psychoanalyzing me. Well, I don't have a contract with you when you're not paying me. So I can't be psychoanalyzing you. I'm only just trying to figure it out. It's amazing. It really is. It is. Well, isn't it interesting how we have to masterfully stay present and be authentic in that moment in order to experience this dance of life? Because as you eloquently stated, you know, how we do it affects how we begin to interact with others and what we then receive back. Yes. And then you have to make the adjustment when it's overwhelming. I mean, overwhelming is because the music is going too fast. And so you have to slow it down so you can actually begin to hear the beat again and the rhythm again to life, which is sometimes why you see children put their hands on their ears because they're overstimulated. The dance is, the music is too fast, the rhythm is too fast, and they want it to slow down. Or people walk away from a room or walk away from a person. It's because that dance is so intense at that moment. But I just think life is a dance. I mean, if you think about life, there you go. My body wanted me to shift and get back into another flow, and I just did it. I think anyone watching can actually see what's going on in this dance right now. But life is a dance, and I've come to see it as that. So that I've also noticed that certain sounds and voices and tones can be either soothing or can cause a knee-jerk reaction. And being aware of energies, I know we have never talked about this, but being aware of the energy that people and places and things are bringing into that dance is very critical for us to be able to move through and to experience and create what works for us or what the universe is calling us to manifest, to embolden, you know. I think my body was moving rhythmically as well, so it's interesting.
Oh, interesting! Yeah. You're noticing it.
Yeah, I notice it. Yeah, I just did. And I think it's because I can see myself as well, so I can actually see me reacting to it. Yeah, which is beautiful. Jinka, I'm so sorry. I think I interrupted you.
No, not at all. You were also going to read something that somebody said, but while I call you coaches, right, and you wonderful right. people, and what I love about this is that we're doing a lot of visualization, because one of the things that I find is really powerful is when people can visualize. So we've talked about dancing. You can visualize doing the dance. We talked about surfing. We talked about, you know, Dr. Arm's beautiful, poetic, you know, feeling and all of that. Can we do more visualization? How do people get into that presence? You know, one thing I always say is that we're sometimes in life, you know, running so fast through this forest, trying to get to this destination, whatever that is. And we're running so fast through it. And it's only when we fall, you know, a stone trips us up and we're there nursing our ankle or whatever. And then we look around and think, oh my God, look at those flowers, look at the grass, look at the trees. And that's one of also the ways that I get myself and my clients into just being present, not thinking about what I did yesterday that I shouldn't have done, or the goals I didn't, you know, do and the ones I want to. What other visualization, you know, images can we help ourselves and people listening, you know, of helping us get into presence? Because we agree it is the best gift right now. At this moment is the perfect time, right? Not yesterday, not what's going to happen in a minute. It is right now. If we can make this minute the best, then we've got more chance of the minute following being the best. So what more visualizations can we come up with, or do you use in personal and professional?
Well, Jinka, just before I share my comment, can I just, because I'm actually, you know, as you know, we're on LinkedIn and comments show up there. And without Nifemi today, I'm having to look at these. So Peju Layuwole says, knowing you, Dr. Ama, these several weeks and the presence you emanate and reaches my own presence. Well, thank you, Peju. That's very kind of you. I feel that as well. Thank you. But to answer your question, I want to go back to the goal that you mentioned, that $1 million goal that people set for themselves. And, you know, everyone comes up with goals. I don't work on goals. I work on intentionality, because I actually believe very strongly that focusing on the $1 million is not what I would move my clients to do, because I would actually say to them, you may want a million what maybe it's 100 million that's meant to be yours. So rather than limit it to a million, what is the intentionality with earning that money? What do you want to do with it? And how do you want to get to it? That allows you to be present for the experiences along the way to reaching whatever that other goal is, whether it's a million or 100 million, or if you're open to the universe giving you or gifting you what it is it wants to give, you will actually come much faster to it, and it will have greater meaning. Because very often people say, oh, I want $1 million. And then you get $1 million and you say, well, that's not really what I wanted. I actually wanted 100 million. And so you're going on and all you're doing is a dopamine hit, but you're not really enjoying the process. So there is a process in being present, is what I'm trying to say. And it's that process that I find more valuable, more meaningful, more rewarding, more fulfilling on the journey to whatever it is you're trying to attain. Peter, did you want to say something? Because I saw a comment come from you.
I saw coming, he said there's a comment from WhatsApp to us all.
Ah, the comment from WhatsApp to us is, did you get what you said you wanted? Yes. It's your heart filled with sorrow. Yes. Then you won. Sorrow is temporary and the results are forever. Okay. Somebody sent that comment on WhatsApp, but we don't have a name.
This is the Thinking Reimagined podcast, sponsored by Allied Empowerment. Allied Empowerment Consultancy offers leadership and innovation through bespoke human development solutions, brain-based leadership, and coaching. Allied Empowerment empowers business leaders, teams, and individuals to intentionally accentuate desired outcomes built on trust, curiosity, psychological safety, engagement, and communication. Allied Empowerment. Thriving in a sustainable and valued manner.
Right. May I contribute? Yes.
Of course. Yes, this is a discussion. Please go ahead.
Yes. So the thing that caught my attention, Dr. Amma, is you mentioned intentionality. And I think when clients are focused on goal setting and checking the next box, the part that they may feel lost in is when they don't know what they want to feel. So they try to use a goal to fill a feeling that they can't quite define. And it may be helpful for us to explore how to help people tap into the feeling that they want to accomplish. So maybe the $1 million is a metaphor, or 100 million is a metaphor for a particular feeling. Like, what is that supposed to make you feel when you have it? Is it because you want to be a philanthropist and you want to give it away? Is it because you want to help particular people in your family or in your community, or you want to build a school? Or is it that you just want to show off? Like, what are the feelings behind the dreams? And when I help people get close to, and I'm sure you guys can relate to this, when you help people get cozy to what they want to feel when they accomplish something, the goal shifts, because they discover, well, there are things around them that can help them tap into that feeling. So for instance, think about it right now. We're coming to the new year. And maybe anybody out there, if you have one goal that you want to accomplish, whether it's in your body, like you want to lose weight, or you want to make an X amount of money, or you want to start something new, think about that feeling. When you have completed this thing that you say is a goal, tap into the feeling. Can you identify that feeling in your body? Dr. Amma talked about a sensation in her gut. So maybe you can recognize that feeling in your gut. Maybe it's a lightness. Maybe it's an expansionness. Maybe it's a grounding feeling. Whatever that feeling is, tell yourselves to remember that feeling. And every time you want to make another step towards a goal, or you choose that goals are not your thing, just focus on the feeling, because that's what brings you closer to the intention. That feeling can help you be present again and again and again, which then makes life, instead of chasing things, chasing ideas, you become a magnet. When you hone in on that feeling, then you become a magnet, and you attract. And that's that beauty of intentionality. You become the thing that becomes the world that you wish to inhabit. That's my two cents about that.
That is definitely beautifully stated, and it goes back to feelings. And very often people, I don't want to say people have become numb, but people don't embrace
the feelings. I agree, they have become numb. Dr. Amma, I don't mean to interrupt, but I do believe they have become numb. I think that's a very true thing that you've just said.
Yes, I really, really hope we're helping, because this is helping me. It you know, we have to be present. We have to reevaluate. This is the time of the year where people go back to reflect. Oh my God, did I do what I set out to do? And then people are thinking forward. But it's only through really being present, feeling. And I often say that. I say, you know, I had a client who said, first of all, they define themselves as the best procrastinator on the planet. I said, well, let's start with that definition, right? If you define yourself as that, what do you think you're going to get? But when we started going through it, I said, The truth is that the procrastination is not a disease. It almost is a way of making us feel better. It's not something that we are. It's actually a protection mechanism. And often, if we're overachieving, or if we set ourselves up for all of these goals, I want to make a million, for example, right? That's too much of a goal with no substance. And just amplifying what Annalise said, the way for me is go into what you want to achieve with the million. So if I said I need £10,000 today, or I want to go on a trip, most people would agree that going on a trip is going to invoke feeling. And if we go with that, then we got more chance of becoming a magnet. Love that, because we almost become, and I often say that the law of attraction is slightly misguided, where it says you think about something and then you get it. And I think that the missing element is the feeling. What does that mean? Well, if you can feel what you want to feel, then you make it closer, and then you become the magnet, right? So things that, and totally, I couldn't agree more. We have become desensitized. We have become, I need to get this. We go into do shopping. We meet people every day. We ignore them. We forget they're human beings. We forget they're people. And those are the things for me that I always try and bring myself back. I'm going to supermarket to pick up something. Hello, darling. How are you? I was walking past, I was actually on the phone with you, Dr. Amma, the other day, and I was walking past this woman, and as I was walking up to her, I could smell her perfume. And I literally said to her, hold on a second. I said, excuse me, darling, what perfume are you wearing? She said, oh my God, I don't know. She told me the name, and I wish it was just lovely. And I just said, what perfume are you wearing? And she told me, she said, oh my God, I can't even smell it. We almost, if I wasn't on the phone, we would have started a conversation, right? But I was like, you know what, have a beautiful day, thank you, you smell lovely. And not only did it make her, I could see, you know, it made her feel present and made her feel good, But actually, I say that the secret of getting is giving. It made me feel good. And I was then again back presence with Dr. Armand. We're on the phone again. And it's just those little things that bring us back to what we're here talking about, that the present is the gift. And that moment, I think that I know she will go back home and probably tell other people, oh my God, this random guy stopped me in the street and said, oh my God, I smoke good. So the little things that we can do that are beyond the things that we need for this life. And I think that's what dancing with life is. I never knew Anita. She never thought she would, you know, meet this guy who's going to come up with that. And I think that's the essence that we're missing with trying to get whatever it is we're getting, or this destination, we miss the journey. So, yeah,
Inka, what caught my attention out of your story and how beautiful you made someone feel good, and certainly makes you feel good, that so much so that it's her smell is here. She's here present with us because of her perfume. Yeah. How interesting. What caught my attention about your story is when she said, really, I don't even notice it. And I think the message in that ties back to what Dr. Amo just said about people can be numb. And I think it's important to recognize, you know, to be present doesn't always mean to recognize that things are perfect and full of rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important to recognize that presence is to honor what is, the messiness of what is, the complexity of life. And many of us, I do agree, Dr. Amma, your comment, some people can be numb, is a very, very, very true comment. We are overstimulated. We are what I call grieving, hidden grief. We carry a lot of grief from the changes of life that have been layers and layers and layers and layers and layers and layers of uncertainty and changes that have kind of changed us in ways that we just sometimes haven't adapted to quite yet. You know, mock speed change. And I think we become desensitized. Inka used the term desensitized. And that is a trueness about what's present. And to adapt, whether you are wanting to be an attractor to the life that you desire, or you want to set goals and do step by step, both are applicable. To dance with life is to recognize, hey, what are we listening to here? What dance is happening? Are you in a mosh pit being carried by the sea of unknown hands across an environment that's loud and unorganized and not where you want to be? Or are you a wallflower pushed against the wall? Like, there's no wrong way to this. And I think this is really important, is to allow all of us permission to A, not know the answers, to be in the unknown, B, be curious, and C, consider changing the station, acceptance. Acceptance is very important. You can't do anything about anything unless you accept what is.
I have to agree with you. I mean, one of the reasons why I started Think and Reimagine was to change the mindset. And that's what we're talking about here. Changing the mindset, accepting that life can be messy. And very often people want to prescribe how life should be. And if it doesn't go that way, then everything is wrong. But really, nothing is wrong. It is the process. It is the dance. You know, it can start slow. It can start fast. Whatever it is, it can be very heavy, you know, drumming, whatever it is. But there's this push for life to follow a certain path. And when it doesn't, then people think something is wrong. People walk away, turn their backs. And we don't encourage curiosity, even from childhood. I mean, by the time children are 4 and 5 and they start going to school, unless you're in a place that embraces curiosity or allows you to express yourself, you're told to stop it. Stop feeling that way. You know, what's wrong with you? Behave yourself. But you have feelings and you're being present with those feelings. So for me, it's going back to allowing a person to be in that moment, to experience what's coming to them, regardless of their age, and help them to get the language to understand it so they can take it on. And then they can work with it and know that when I am feeling, for lack of a better word, blue, when things are not rosy today or there are no rainbows, doesn't mean that the rainbows aren't there. Doesn't mean the sun isn't there. You know, when people say, oh, it's just such a terrible day, a bad day, you know, it's a cold, rainy, bad day. And I think, no, there's nothing wrong with the day. The day is fine. It's a good day, like any other day. It is a day. It's how you're perceiving it. And because you're not present to experience what that day presents to you, you're knocking it off as a bad day because you don't see the sun and you don't see the rainbows and people are not throwing their arms open to embrace you. It's still a perfectly good day. So what are you going to enjoy in that moment that's being presented to you? That's what matters in that day. So, you know, I agree with you. Curiosity and openness to express. Yinka does it very beautifully with his 2-year-old, where he reminds her that she is complete, that she is whole, that he understands. You know, she doesn't have all of the language, but I can see that he's opening the space for her to feel frustration, to feel anger, to feel the nick, whatever it is that she's experiencing, that it is okay. And that's how you begin to support people in building what I call the spectrum of experiences that keep us present.
Great, yeah. Noticing.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up. I think that, you know, having a 2-year-old and twins really has taken me back to understanding our core essence, because I'm trying to teach her emotions. She says, I think you were there the other day when she said, "Sad, Daddy." She's 2, right? And I'm trying to teach her emotions because I think part of the part of our construct, our built construct, if we accept that 50% is nature and 50% is nurture, right? 50% of the nurture side is that we focus on good and bad. We give these things names. So it's a rainy day, it's not great. And it's a sunny day, it's great. The rainbow we can see is fantastic. We can't see the rainbow, not good. And I think that how do we get in touch with feeling and understanding our emotions? And we try and do that with her. Even when she's crying and yelling out, I'm like, that's it, darling, get it out. It's okay, get it out. Because I think that, as Peter said, somebody sent a message in the chat and said, if we're to erase all our mistakes, we'll be erasing ourselves. But we define these as mistakes. The wonderful doctor, I think she's called Dr. Esther or Carol Weck, talks about not yet. And she does an experiment where she goes into schools in the US and she teaches the kids that there's no failure. Instead of replacing "you failed," it's "not yet." And it's beautiful because I think that that's where we have a fear of failure, but failure doesn't really exist. It's just you're getting to a better understanding of it. You can't read something the first time and fully grasp it. You can't start with a dance and fully understand it. And that definition then leads the kids to not think "I failed," but think, "I've just not got it yet." And I think the essence of life, ultimately, if we could all stay in that presence and understand that half the time, I think, and I say half the time, but I think 90% of the time, we're focused on other people's goals because we look at something that somebody has and thinks, that's what I want. because we're coaches here, we go into personal and professional, how can we, what common threads can we come away with, or what common threads can we focus on that help both personal and organizations this time of the year? Is the question I want to pose to you both, and Peter, of course, if you're with us.
Thank you, Ingar. I'd say if you are a small organization with a small staff, my gift of presence and to dance with life is to honor people where they are, bring playful experiences to the office. Listen to them, ask them how they really are. In order to bring goals and a new year, instead of just doing activities that distract people, that add more distraction, like alcohol and things that take people out of their body, create experiences where they can talk to one another and really get to know each other. For instance, I'll throw this challenge out there. If you don't already have coaches in your organization, why don't you invite a coach in? Invite a coach in to do some team building. Invite a coach in to bring some creative getting to know you activities. Do something where people can, in a thoughtful, facilitated, but playful way. For instance, my husband is a drum circle facilitator, and he uses rhythm to help people live, work, and play well together. His business is called Drum for Change. Drum for Change. His name is Greg Witt, W-H-I-T-T. He brings rhythm experiences to the workplace, to congregations, to communities, to corporations, and it is a playful way to bring people together. And what they learn is they learn about the humanity of the organization. Businesses are made of people. So I'd say challenge yourself to check in to what's around you and see if there is a creative consultant, which is also what I do, is I'll bring in movement. I can bring in dance. I can bring in mindfulness. I can bring in creative expression. And these are very unusual ways for people to get to know each other on a human level. We're human beings, not human doings. We forget that. And when we're human beings, not human doings, and we forget that. So if we connect with each other on a human level, we develop a sense of trust, empathy, compassion, and that can go a long way for carrying a mission and goal setting for any small to large organization. Far more so than our standard Christmas party, than a standard, you know, end of year bash where people get drunk and then they forget that they even, or they say the wrong thing at a party. So my challenge is consider developing human relations differently in your social practices that you have in your workplace. Bring in a coach, bring in creative concepts that help you honestly check in and see how people are. That's my contribution. And thank you so much for that great question, Inka.
Fantastic. Thank you. That was lovely. I'm going to look up. In fact, I've already got Greg up because.
Oh, great.
Absolutely.
He has the flu right now, so he needs at least a week.
We'll have to get him over to London or Nigeria or across the world. But
absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, and he's actually the executive director of the International Drum Circle Facilitators Guild, which is a thing. This is an organization that is worldwide and that lets you know where there is a facilitator nearby you. But you can certainly, you know, have a call and connect with them and learn more.
Yeah, no, love that. We had a meeting yesterday. I won't go into it, but one of the big takeaways for me was that it was two different countries, and the thing they were both missing was that they are two of the richest, two of these countries have the richest culture, right? When it comes to music, when it comes to art, when it comes to fabrics and textiles. But yet, the guy gave a beautiful example. He said that most times we're looking north. And again, it is about introspection, it's about internal, because that's where the power is. The power is inside us, as opposed to looking out to find, I want that. When ultimately, I mean, I do a thing about change versus transformation. And I say that change is using those external influences to modify the results we want to get. But the real power is in transformation. When I was doing your introduction, I emphasized transformation, because every time I hear it, I think people just say change and transformation. But when we've got to a good place, we understand that transformation is internal. It's about modifying those internal belief systems so that our natural actions achieve the results, as opposed to looking for external influences to change that. And I love going, and every organization I always talk about, I always say it's people first. If we get the internal people working, then there's nothing that's not achievable.
Absolutely. I mean, it does come back to people, doesn't it? And when we recognize that this world, this present moment, involves others, and there's an interconnectivity with people, it only enables us to be more aware and more present in our interactions and in the things that we do. I know that our time is fast rounding up over here, but I very much would like to just find out from each of you, what are your nuggets as we end 2023 on a high note, on Thinking Reimagined? What's your nugget? What's your gift that you're going to bestow at this moment to our listeners?
My gift is the gift of gratitude and presence. It's what we started with. And Dr. Ama, you shared that your life began in 2023 in unexpected ways, and you were transparent and vulnerable with us. And we are all on a journey of the uncertainty and unknown, and we share those changes of life with you. And so my gift to those listening, and to Inka and your children, you mentioned you have twins, did you say?
Yes. Yep.
Blessings to your family. So for those listening, I certainly appreciate everyone's presence here. Presence is a gift, and it is worth giving. When we are present, we are giving ourselves. We don't live in islands. We live in community. And we learned, of course, through COVID, being isolated is a terrible feeling. So to be present is to be the gift. So with that, I thank you for your asking, for your contribution. It's been such a gift to be here today. My name is Annalise. My business is Conduit for Change. And my specialty is in providing resources for creative transformation on a personal level, on an organizational level, and a societal level. My gift is presence. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
On your show this morning, Dr. Ama and Inka. And Peter.
And Peter. Yes.
Yeah.
Peter is still with us. Yinka, some final words, your gift.
Oh, so beautiful. So beautiful. The your gift is the present. I'm truly present. I'm just, I feel like I'm absorbed, and I'm absorbing and truly in here. And I think that's the best times. I think that the very quick thing is that when we can be present, We kept the gift. I have to amplify that, Emily. Sorry, I'm stealing that.
Go for it. Amplify, yes.
And when we take away what we're worried about from the minute ago or yesterday, and when we lose, somebody wise said, if you have one foot in yesterday and the other in tomorrow, you're in the perfect position to piss on today. Sorry for the visual, but I just thought that would be it. So if we can be in today, at this moment, everything is as it should be, all right? Then we've got more chance of the next minute building on that. However, if we are in two places at one time, then we're not present and we're not actually going to be built. We're not realistically going to build on anything. So just that visualization of one foot in yesterday and the other in tomorrow, let's not give away our gift. And every time we get worried about something we've done or anxiety about something that's about to happen, let's try and bring ourselves back to right now. And it's that's my conclusion or my last words. Hope that helps.
It really is beautiful. Peter, are you able to join us and share your gift?
Well, my gift, or what I would say I've learned, because what I've learned is that life happens. And I say this because I've always said, when I was growing up, nobody ever taught me how to handle what we label as failures, but I've come to learn that life happens. The first time I had something traumatic, when my dad died, I thought the sky was going to turn purple and everybody was going to know, and nobody even cared or knew, except for the nuclear family. So life happens, and you have to be present and not have this mindset that the world will change if something happens. So you have to be present. You know, and I've learned to be present in myself and accept, well, I wouldn't call it accept because I don't accept things, but be present in myself and know that things happen either the way you want it or not. But being there and being conscious and being interested in yourself is what I've learned.
Well, thank you so much. So much has been said today, from the gift of presence to the gift of being, to being open to the moment, to accepting what life presents and recognizing that failure is not a failure, but it is the getting better at it and being open to making progress. I am grateful for your presence today, because I know that there's a reason we're here at this moment in time. I value time, and I value the opportunities that are presented to me, regardless of how they come, because I recognize that it may not come in a beautiful wrapped box, but it is coming. And so I hope that all of us will continue to live in presence, in gratitude, and recognize when opportunities present themselves, because they do present themselves, and to embrace it however it comes, so that we can continue to live in a world of feeling and being and presence and experience. Thank you so much for joining us. It's our final episode for 2023. We look forward to seeing you in 2024. And may this be a period of gratitude and presence for all. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you. Namaste.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you so much.
Many blessings. Peace. Peace. Many blessings.
Peace. Many blessings indeed.
And to all our viewers out there, thank you for being with us all through the year. I'll see you next year.
This has been a Thinking Reimagined podcast.
The executive producer is Dr. Amma. Co-producer Peter Ammon Boyle.
The podcast is edited by Nelken, and it is moderated by Nifemi Oguntoyin.
Thinking Reimagined emphasizes the importance of transformational conversations, which have as their aim the bringing about of the rich diversity of thoughts and, most importantly, powerful and applicable effective solutions and change.
The views, opinions, and contributions of the panelists are exclusively theirs and do not reflect the opinions of Thinking Reimagined producers or personnel. Thank you for listening,
and we hope you have enjoyed this episode.
We invite you to subscribe to Thinking Reimagined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and other outlets.
We look forward to presenting another riveting episode next week.
Thinking Reimagined Podcast is produced by Live Abundantly.
We welcome your thoughts and invite you to visit our website, livesabundantly.com.
Or you can follow us on social media on Live Abundantly 8.
Thinking Reimagined, changing the mindset for a better global society.